Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. We are moving to one more story in Quran chapter 11, and this time it is the story of Moses. I know, Muslims always repeat their broken record statement. We believe in Moses and we believe in the Torah. You cannot be a true Muslim unless you believe in Moses and you believe in the Torah. Obviously, this is just a dumb statement. Muslims keep repeating it because they know that most people who are hearing them making such claim do not know anything about what the Quran teaches about Moses or what Muslims really believe about Moses. As always, Muslims believe on all the prophets of the Bible. But what we do not know that they believe that these prophets are Muslim prophets. They actually believed in Muhammad. You see, Adam was the first prophet and Adam was a Muslim. As a matter of fact, because Adam was a Muslim, all the descendants of Adam are Muslims. And once again, if you leave your children alone, don't influence them by any of whatever you believe, they will automatically grow up to be Muslims. And if they are influenced by some Jewish family or some Christian family, they will grow up to be a Jew or Christians. But if they come back to Islam, Muslims say they reverted to Islam. Why? Because they were originally Muslims. So who is Prophet Moses? Oh, he's another Muslim prophet who actually prayed with Muhammad when Muhammad went to Jerusalem and he prayed the Muslim prayer and on with many nonsensical material Muslims share about Moses. Now, as you know, we have talked about Moses in previous study. In Quran chapter 2, Quran chapter 3, 4, and 5, and 6, and 7, and in Quran chapter 10. So obviously here in Quran chapter 11, we see a little bit information about Moses. But in reality, Moses is mentioned in the Quran 131 times. So if we continue to do our investigation and do some commentaries about Moses, we found out we will be talking about Moses again in chapter 11, in Quran chapter 14, in Quran chapter 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 32, 33, 37, 40, 41, 42, 43, Quran chapter 46 and 51, and Quran chapter 53, and Quran chapter 61, and Quran chapter 79, and Quran chapter 87. You see, Moses is written all over the Quran. And if we gather all the information about Moses and investigate it, we will learn nothing. I am serious. We will learn nothing about Moses. A simple reading to the Torah will give us all the information we needed to learn about Moses. But you can read all these chapters in the Quran. Imagine 131 times the name Moses is mentioned, and you read everything before and after about Moses, and you still learn nothing. Why? Because it's very simple. Muhammad is repeating some propaganda and some lies about Moses, which have nothing to do with the real Moses. And I believe he did this on purpose. Even though Muslims will tell us they believe in the Torah. But how can you believe in Moses and you believe in the Torah if all the commands of Allah in the Quran goes against the teaching of Moses and the teaching of the Torah? That's why Muhammad will never say even any of the commands of God in the Bible, in the Torah, because otherwise Muhammad would be contradicting himself even worse. And to prove our point, let us look together at that which is written in Quran chapter 11, beginning from verse 96. For there we read, and indeed we, that is Allah, sent Moses with our signs and with a manifest authority. Wow. Who's doing that? Allah. To who? To Moses. But listen to the following verse. To Pharaoh and his leaders. So they followed the command of Pharaoh, and the command of Pharaoh was not right. Did you notice what we have here? We have a huge error in the Quran. For Allah is telling us that he sent Moses with the signs to Pharaoh, to Pharaoh's leaders, not to the children of Israel. See, the whole idea of Moses, the prophet, going back to Egypt is not about taking the children of Israel out of Egypt, but actually sharing the true beliefs of Allah to Pharaoh. Perhaps Pharaoh will believe. Perhaps Pharaoh will become a Muslim believer, as Moses himself was a Muslim prophet. But is that true? When we examine what the Bible teaches about Moses and Pharaoh, do we ever read anywhere in the Bible that Moses went to Pharaoh to lead Pharaoh to believe in God? Of course not. The whole entire mission of Moses to Pharaoh is very simple. Let my people go. He did not go to Egypt to lead anyone to believe in anything, but he went to Egypt for the purpose of taking the children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. And before we go in depth in verse 97, let me emphasize on some simple facts. There's huge difference between signs or manifest authority, which Moses took to the children of Israel in Egypt to make them believe that he was sent by God, and the plagues which God Almighty sent against the Egyptian, that is Pharaoh and his people, because Pharaoh refused to let the children of Israel go out of Egypt. As he hardened his heart, God brought more and more judgments, which are plagues. Within the context of the biblical account of Moses, his signs and miracles which he performed for the children of Israel have nothing to do with the plagues against Egypt. The miracles was very simple. Let me remind you that Moses said, "What if the children of Israel will not believe in me?" That's when God told him, "Here's what you're going to do. What do you have in your hand, O Moses?" He said, "A staff." He said, "Throw it on the ground." And it became a snake. And God said, "Pick it up from the ground." And behold, it became a staff again. That was the first sign. The second sign was that Moses would put his hand in his bosom. And when he brought his hand out, it was white with leprosy. And when he put it back in his bosom and got it out, it became normal without any whiteness or any leprosy. Now God told Moses, if the children of Israel, not Pharaoh, if the children of Israel did not believe these two signs or these two miracles, then I want you to dump some water on the ground and that will become blood. These signs were for the children of Israel to believe that Moses is a prophet from God, which is very logical. When somebody comes to say that he's a prophet or he's a messenger and he have no evidence, why people believe in him? How can people follow him? That is the same problem which we have with Muhammad, because he claimed to be a prophet. He claimed to be a messenger even greater than Moses, because after all, he's the final messenger whom Allah sent to this world. But guess what? Muhammad did not perform one miracle to prove to his people that he is a true prophet or a messenger of God. And as we read throughout the Quran, the people of Quraysh, the infidels, begged Muhammad, "Perform miracle for us so we can believe in you." As a matter of fact, some of his own followers, the Muslim believers, begged Muhammad, "Please perform miracle. Prove to the infidels that you are a prophet from God so they can follow you, so they can believe in you." And guess what? Muhammad is the only prophet who did not come with any prophecy, and he did not come with any evidence that he is a prophet. Why did Allah in the Quran give signs and manifest authority to Moses, but he gave nothing to Muhammad? As for the plagues, once again, there were 10. We read about them in the book of Exodus, and they have nothing to do with the children of Israel. These are punishment of God against Pharaoh and the Egyptians to force Pharaoh to let God's people go with Moses, as Moses led them out of Egypt.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that, upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
As for the 10 plagues we read about in the Bible, the first one is changing the water into blood. And I'm not talking about dumping some water on earth to become blood. I'm talking about all the waters of Egypt, all the rivers, all the streams. Literally every water we have in Egypt turned into blood. And we read about that in the book of Exodus, chapter 7, beginning from verse 19. As for the second plague, it is the plague of frog, which we read about in Exodus chapter 8, verses 2 to 6. That is when frogs cover all over Egypt, even in our homes, in our bread, name it. As for the third plague, the gnats or lice. And we read about that in the book of Exodus, chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. The fourth plague was the flies or swarms. We read about that in the book of Exodus, chapter 8 and verse 21. As for the fifth plague, you got it right. It was the livestock disease, which we read about in the book of Exodus, chapter 9 and verse 3. Well, in Exodus chapter 9, verses 8 through 10, we learn about the sixth plague, which was the boils. As for plague number 7, it was thunder and hail, which we read about in the book of Exodus chapter 9, beginning from verse 18. The locust, on the other hand, that was the eighth plague. We read about in Exodus chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. The darkness is the ninth plague, which is written in the book of Exodus, chapter 10, verses 21 and 22. As for the 10th and the last plague was the death of the firstborn, which we read about in the book of Exodus, chapter 11, verses 4 and 5. Muhammad did not know anything about the difference between first the signs which Moses performed before the children of Israel and the plagues which God performed through Aaron and Moses against Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Now, when we read the Quran, for example, in Quran chapter 17, beginning from verse 101, Allah said, "And indeed, we gave Moses 9 clear signs." How many? 9. I just mentioned 10 to you from the book of Exodus, but somehow Muhammad changed the number from 10 to 9. And how they were? They were clear signs. So ask the children of Israel, Allah continued to say, when he came to them. So Pharaoh said to him, "Surely I think you are bewitched, O Moses." Really? Is that what we read in the Bible? After Moses performed all his miracles, Pharaoh told Moses, "I think you are bewitched? Are you kidding me?" Yes, indeed. That's what Allah said in the Quran. Moses answered in verse 102, he said, "Indeed, you know that nothing of those sent down except from the Lord of the heavens and the earth as proof. And surely I think that you, O Pharaoh, are doomed." And I cannot imagine the conversation go back and forth between Pharaoh and Moses to be with this low standard. Pharaoh tell Moses he was bewitched. Then Moses told Pharaoh that he was doomed, which none of that is written anywhere in the Bible. Now, when we examine these nine signs, behold, Muhammad only mentioned five. One of them is actually wrong. And that is what we read in Quran chapter 7 and verse 133. Allah there said, so we sent on them, and them here are Pharaoh and his people. The tufan, the word tufan means deluge, which obviously only happened one time in Noah's account, that is a flood, not in Moses' account, and the locust, and the lice, and the frogs, and the blood. Expounded signs, so they became proud, and they were a criminal people. They became proud and they were criminals? Or Pharaoh told Moses, I think you are bewitched. Which one is the right response to these clear signs or miracles of Moses? But what is important is that Muhammad only mentioned five, and one of them is wrong, which is the flood. For the flood did not take place except in Noah's account. Well, let's move back to where we were. That is Quran chapter 11. In verse 97, the leaders of Pharaoh followed Pharaoh's command. They did not obey Moses' command, but they simply followed Pharaoh. Now, in the following verse, that's 98, it says he, and that he is actually Pharaoh, will head his people on the resurrection day. So he gave them to the fire. He meant hell. Wait a minute. I thought Allah is the one who punished people with fire. No. Here we see that it is Pharaoh. He's leading his people simply because they believe him. They follow his command. They did not believe in Moses because they did not believe in the signs or the miracles which were manifest, as Allah stated in verse 96, with authority, but they follow the command of Pharaoh. Now Pharaoh will take them to hell. And evil is the entry which they are entering. I know that Muhammad using words here in the Arabic poetry to make it with good rhyme, but what entering? Was the entering to hell? Well, the entering to hell is evil. And all those who enter hell also will face that evil. That is Pharaoh and his leaders. Now, let's move on to verse 99. And they were followed a curse in this and the resurrection day. Evil is the gift that will be given. Once again, in English language does not have much, but in the Arabic poetry, it is beautiful. Once again, here we go. We see that they receive the gift of eternity in hell, and it is an evil gift, and somehow they receive it simply because they followed Pharaoh's command. In verse 100, this is some of the news of the villages we relate to you. Some of them are standing and reaped, mean harvested. What village? What is Muhammad talking about? Is Egypt now a small village? Was Pharaoh living in a village? I mean, you're talking about a great country in the best of its time when Moses was there, but somehow Muhammad forgot about what he's talking about and just making his poetry. Moving on, one more verse in that chapter. Why did Muhammad make that error? It is the reality of all the made-up stories he inserted in Quran chapter 11. He talked about Ad and the people of Prophet Hud as they were in a village. He talked about Saleh and the people of Samud to be in another village. He talked about Medin and Prophet Shaib. And behold, they also live in another village. After all, Abraham was living in a village, and Lot was living in a village, and Noah also lived in a village as he talked to his people about the judgment of Allah. So why not we go ahead and make Moses to be sent to another village? And it just it happened that in that village there was some man who was known to be Pharaoh. What a nonsensical Quran. Obviously, Muhammad does not have any concept to the true biblical accounts, as he mixed the biblical account with his made-up stories about his prophets and the villages where these prophets used to live. Noah was not a prophet for a specific village, but to the entire earth. And Moses was to the great country of Egypt, not to some small village somewhere where Pharaoh and his leaders were living. As for the interpretation for the statement concerning the people who were some standing and some reaped, Muslim scholars said what Allah was talking about here is simply the people who were punished for their sin because they did not believe in their prophet and the messages of Allah, which made them infidels. That's why Allah wiped them out from the face of the earth. These are the one which were reaped. As for the one which are standing, those who believed in Allah and believed in his prophets, and Allah somehow saved them from whatever judgment he brought on the rest of the people who became infidels. And Allah here emphasized that they treated themselves unjustly. So their gods, on whom they called rather than Allah, did not profit them at all. When your Lord's command came, they did not increase them except in ruin. That itself is another contradiction in the Quran. Why? Because Allah is very clear. He guides whom he will and he leads astray whom he wills. Obviously, those people did not believe simply because Allah chose for them not to believe, simply because he created them for hell, as we'll be seeing in our next broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.